Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Greg Cody Show podcast. There's a lot to talk about today, obviously, including the Dolphins' playoff loss in Kansas City. But I know why y'all are here, and it's why I'm here today. I'm going to talk about a fat piece of shit, Lebatard. The Greg Cody Show podcast starts right now.
This is The Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody.
Pardon it.
Here's your host, Greg Cody.
Dad, I was thinking that we should redo the way this podcast starts every week, because I noticed that Stephen A. Smith had a week, you know, going after Jason Whitlock. And I noticed the way he does it is he does like a 30-second little intro before his music, where it's just kind of like, I got a lot to say and I'm going in on Whitlock. And then it like cuts to his imaging, or it's like, you woke up, you wanted my attention. Now you got it. Boom. And then like the intro hits. Like, I'm thinking you need to, like, beefs are in right now, Dad. I think you need to find out, maybe go after Dave Hyde, maybe Hal Habib. But like, I really think a 2 to 3 minute clip of you just ripping someone could really do something for our numbers.
Okay. First of all, I'm actually glad you brought that up, because I do have a beef that I'd like to introduce on this podcast, and I'm not.
Generally not a good start to a beef. I do have a beef that I'd like to introduce. Like, that's just, it's not, you need to be a little meaner.
So, according to Christopher, I can't introduce my beef as a beef.
People don't introduce beefs. You just start ripping someone. You don't say, okay, I'm about to introduce a beef to everyone.
Okay. Then I'm going to get right to it, and I'm serious here. Okay.
Your tone is already like you're half kidding. Like, I really need you to channel some Stephen A here.
Okay, first of all, I don't do a Stephen A impression. Well, so I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
I wish I did, actually.
I don't want you to sound like him. I just want you to have his intensity.
Dan Lebatard, who I thought was my friend, has stolen from me. And I'm not going to take it anymore. I'm not going to stand for it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what my recourse is, but the Lebatard Show has stolen property from me for financial gain. Hee-haw, three, ba-dap, is my intellectual property.
Wow.
Now, I know it's weird to say that a phrase that dumb is intellectual property, but it is. Okay, I want to read to you the legal definition
of
intellectual property. Intellectual property are creations of the mind. I can't read my writing here. such as inventions, literary and artistic works, designs, symbols, names, and images. Well, hee-haw three, ba-dap, is my creation. That's my phrase. I brought that into the world. And now Lebatard is selling t-shirts for profit with my phrase in his merch store. And I don't think that's right. I have my own merch store.
Do you think this is the first time that they've used your likeness in their merch store?
No, they continue to do it. And I don't get that.
I'm pretty sure you signed something at some point that gave them the freedom to use your likeness.
I don't think so. I really don't. I'd have to look that up, but. You know, now I'm not saying this is, you know, Stephen A. Smith going at Jason Whitlock. It's not even.
I mean, I think you do need to call Dan a fat piece of shit right now. You fat piece of shit.
You know what? He's no longer that fat. He's lost a lot of weight. He looks great.
Did you not hear that? I mean, Stephen A. said that about Whitlock. It was really funny.
I know he did. And then and then he goes on his next podcast, Stephen A. does. And says he was not fat shaming anybody. You can't, Stephen A., You can't call someone a fat piece of shit
and a fat bastard.
Then 2 days
and a fat bastard.
Yeah, and then 2 days later say that you weren't using the word fat in a derogatory manner.
I mean, him saying that he went to his pastor before doing that, like, yeah, just is like hilarious. Just like the idea of like, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
Premeditated right. Repentance. I'm just
well, getting back to my beef, I asked your mother if she knew a intellectual property attorney, because I was going to talk to him on the air about this, like whether I do have anything, any claim or not. Now, it may be, I'm not an expert, I'm not a lawyer. It may be that anything said on the Levitard show, they're able to use for profit. I have no idea.
I have something to say, Greg.
Okay.
First, recent guest on the Greg Cody Show with Greg Cody, Vivek Jayaram. He is an intellectual property attorney, Greg.
Ooh, let's get him on the phone.
You just had him. But
I know.
Before you do that, Greg, you might want to tread carefully. Because I remember Mike saying something when the show was at ESPN a long time ago about things that are created on the show that the show does have certain stake or claim to. And there are several things that we've brought up or that you've introduced on their show that we've created merchandise off of. But what I find extra funny is you claiming that this is your intellectual property.
Right.
After Uncle Dick claimed it was his intellectual property, after he also admitted that it was someone else's intellectual property that he stole.
Okay, well, first of all, so I don't know that.
Be careful about who you call.
I don't know that to be true. I consider hee-haw three badayup. That phrase, those four words, to be my intellectual property. And I just think it's weird that you're going to take my phrase and put it on a t-shirt in your merch store when I have my own merch store. It's just weird to me. Am I wrong? If I'm wrong, tell me.
You are. I mean, Dad, okay. You're wrong because of how like this show has benefited a lot in many ways from the Levitard show. Right. Like, okay. I think we can agree that a lot of the reason a lot of the people are listening right now to us is because of the Levitard show. Maybe. And I think it's a little bit of a biting the hand that feeds you a little bit here. Like, it's like you getting mad. It's like you're a little baby bird that's just waiting for Levitard to like put their mouth in your mouth and feed you.
Baby, a baby bird.
And you're like mad at the mama bird for taking one of your feathers and using it to shade them.
See, you have divided loyalties. You have divided loyalties. Okay, you're my executive producer, but you're also a producer on the Levitard show. And so you're beholden to both parties, and Levitard pays you more than I do, that's for sure. So you're probably more beholden to the Levitard show than you are to this show. So you have mixed loyalties. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm like the John Skipper of this show, though.
Okay. I don't know what that means. All right.
Levitard. Yeti's the Mike Ryan.
Okay.
And I'm John Skipper.
Okay. So you don't feel like I should either sue Levitard or call the cops and have him arrested? You don't think that either of those things?
I think you should call him on air and threaten to call the cops on him. Like, that I think is a funny bit.
You think?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go.
You think I should do it right
now? Pick up your phone. Yeah.
Call him on speaker.
All right. This could really go badly for me. All right. Hang on just a second.
Make sure to put it on speaker and put the phone up near the mic so we can hear the ring. This is very exciting. I don't hear a ring. Are you sure it's on speaker? No, you don't have to move it closer. We should be able to hear it easily. Is it ringing, Dad?
Yeah, it's ringing. You can't hear that ringing?
No.
Automatic voice message. Yeah, he never picks up.
Well, at least we didn't get the payoff of the f***ing ring. Jeez.
Well, fake a ring then. I don't know. The phone was ringing. I was holding up a ringing phone next to my speaker or microphone. I don't know what else to tell you. I want to read enough about this thing with Levitard show, because apparently I'm all alone here. Nobody's with me. The idea that hee-haw three badayup is my property and anybody else can just use it and make money off my property. That's fine.
Okay. This is, I don't feel like we did a good job of making a viral clip of you ripping someone.
Not one bit.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Now, is there anything that says we couldn't make our own hee-haw three badayup shirt?
Ooh.
No. Why couldn't we? Like we should.
All right.
I'm getting to it.
Yeah, Yeti, put it up. Get it up there.
Give me 5 minutes or 3 days.
And by the way, the Levitard Show misspelled Badea. So we're going to spell it correctly.
Well, so did you. But
well, it's B-A-D-E-U-P.
Why'd you put a Y in there on the show?
I got excited and misspelled it.
I texted Jeremy. I saw the show description come out and I was like, dude, it's actually spelled this. And I hadn't listened yet. And he said, no, this is how we spelled it on the show. I'm like, there's an entire text thread where we are arguing over the correct spelling, trying to get it right before you went on the air.
Right. The correct spelling is B-A-D-E-U-P. There's no Y in it. There's a Y phonetically.
In the Cody canon, that is how we spell Badea.
Yes. And that's the official spelling because I say so.
Thank you for clarifying that before I make a shirt.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you buy a Hee Haw 3 Badea t-shirt from the Greg Cody merch store, it will be authentic because the spelling of Badea will be accurate.
That's assuming I get it done.
Yeah. It also isn't up there yet. They're a lot quicker than we are.
I know they are.
They have more people. I mean, and
better artists.
I'm a small operation here. Okay, we're a one man show. They're the man. They're the big corporate. I'm the little guy. They're the big corporation. So you know, I'm down here fighting for my intellectual rights, fighting for my property, and the big conglomerate over there is stealing all my material and profiting on it. With t-shirts in their own merch store. Now, I may or may not get a share of their profits. I have no idea. I probably should have known that before I started bitching.
Did you have any idea who Cat Williams was?
No, God, no. I still don't. I assumed it was a female.
Oh, no.
To be honest.
Why? Because all dogs are male and all cats are female? Is that?
Yeah, what's going on there?
No, K-A-T-T. Like, I've known of women named Cat, K-A-T. I've never known men named Cat, that's all. Who is he? A comedian?
Yeah, he's a comedian, man. He had a damn good run of specials, I'd say, in 05. Like, right when I was, like, graduating high school, like, I remember Pimp Chronicles was freaking hilarious. Like, he was one of my favorite comics, but he's kind of, you know, I don't want to say fallen off, but he's just... in my mind, not as popular as he was a few, like 10 years ago. And I actually went and saw him less than a year ago. He like was at the Hard Rock where it was like Cat Williams and friends. So it was like a bunch of people with him and it was funny. And he brought out, he had Mr. Cooper with him from hanging with Mr. Cooper.
Whoa.
That guy's doing comedy with, and it was a good show and he was funny. You know, I don't put him, I kind of have always kept him a level below all the top guys for some reason, especially because of his relevancy the last 10 years, but he's definitely a known comic and he just went ether on the entire, I don't know if you saw the Club Shay Shay clips, Dad, but he just torched every comedian basically out there.
Right. And was he accurate or was he just coming off as bitter?
People are responding, claiming that there are a lot of inaccuracies in what he's saying, but there's no doubt that what he said was entertaining. Like I heard Daniel Taj on the internet reacting to it, just like, I don't care if it was true because it was freaking hilarious.
Really?
He didn't torch Brad Williams.
No, he did not. He went after Joe Rogan. He went after Joe Rogan's whole crew. He went after almost every black comedian you could think of.
What did he say about Joe Rogan?
Just how Joe Rogan is promoting on his platform a bunch of unfunny people, a bunch of unfunny white people, and then he doesn't promote any black people. And, you know, and then he just went after like Steve Harvey and Cedric the Entertainer and Kevin Hart. And he just like,
wow,
just basically calling people like Hollywood, like people like Hollywood placed Kevin Hart in all my roles. Like those were supposed to go to me, but Hollywood decided that it was Kevin Hart. And so that's why he gets all like, you know,
he's a like, short guy, right?
He went after Martin Lawrence. He's like, I could have done all his movies in the 90s, but I didn't want to dress up like a woman. Like, I guess Martin Lawrence did Big Mama's House and stuff. Right. He's like, that could have been mine, but I had respect for myself. Like,
did he go after Will Smith saying I could have played the lead in Independence Day?
He's like, I could have slapped Chris Rock. I was supposed to slap Chris Rock. No, I didn't see the whole thing. Honestly, I only saw like internet clips. So he may have gone after Will Smith too, but I didn't see that.
So he wasn't involved in that whole, what's his name, Pat McAfee beef with the ESPN, right?
No.
What? No, he didn't have anything to
totally
do with that.
Different.
That's Aaron Rodgers. I like the idea of you just like getting confused with your beefs. You're like, why is Cat Williams mad at Pat McAfee?
I'm totally confused because Tank Top and Aaron Rodgers.
Tank Top. Got,
well, that's what I call McAfee. Tank Top. I mean that in a nice way, Pat. Tank Top and Aaron Rodgers beefed with ESPN, right?
I mean, I love how this segment has just turned into Chris tells Greg what happened this week. Yes, I mean.
Okay, I want to make sure I have it
Aaron
right.
Aaron Rodgers went on to Pat McAfee's show trying to defend his Jimmy Kimmel, like, takedown, because that turned out to be wrong. And it just turned into him ripping the left for the way they handled COVID. Like, it turned into a COVID segment. And, you know, and then the next day, the Pat McAfee show says Aaron Rodgers is done for the year. He won't be back on. We just want to talk sports.
Yeah.
And then the very next day, he came on to react to Belichick retiring. So the day after, McAfee was like, it's all right, guys. He's not coming on the rest of the year. I just want to do sports.
Right.
He brought him back on. So it was just.
Yeah, of course he did.
Lord knows what's going on over there. I won't let you disrespect Tank Top, though. It's a great nickname right. But I'm a fan of that show.
No, it's just like Jason Kelce getting called eyebrows.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's just.
No, McAfee's good at what he does. I'm tired of Aaron Rodgers. I am really tired of Aaron Rodgers. I'm tired of him being voted most inspirational player by the Jets. What did he do to inspire anybody? That's my question.
Inspired me not to watch him.
Yeah. He played four plays, didn't even complete a pass, 0-for-1, and he's the most inspiring player. That's why the Jets are so bad, because their most inspiring player played four plays all season, didn't complete a bet.
Yeah, he's just gotten too much. It's gotten to where I'm fed up. He someone on the Levitard show, maybe it was Billy or maybe it was Stugatz, I can't remember, was, you know, talked about him Amin's take, where he doesn't want to actually win. He doesn't want to be on a great team. He wants to be the best player so he can just, like, guys, I tried really hard, and he can get the attention of someone who tries really hard but doesn't quite get there. I think Amin said he doesn't actually want to win another Super Bowl. And the whole thing, but I applied that with the whole thing with his Achilles this year and possibly coming back. And, like, you know, like, look at, but the whole thing is, let me just put a bunch of news out there that I might be coming back ready for week 12 or ready after 12 weeks or something like that. And, but then he doesn't, guys, I tried, you know, so that he can be inspiring or whatever. And just because you say something in an eloquent manner on the internet doesn't make it true.
Right.
And doesn't make you smart.
Right.
And you know, trust me, as someone who can't speak eloquently, it annoys me. And we take, someone could phrase something, you could say a pizza recipe and say it really well, and as if you're giving a TED talk, and someone's going to believe like you're the smartest person out there.
Of course.
And then you get in that echo chamber, and all of a sudden, I'm Aaron Rodgers. I am the smartest guy on the planet.
Go ahead.
Real talk on this, you know, most of that's just jokey, but like real talk on this, my whole thing with him is you can feel the way you want to feel about COVID stuff and about whatever, you know, conspiracy theory you're wanting to get into. You can feel that way. But to excoriate anyone who thinks differently of you, that's where I get really fed up. It's annoying. And then but when someone disagrees with you, you've got to trash them because, oh, they're ignorant. They're stupid just because they see things differently than you. So how dare they say things about you? But you can go call other people who disagree with you. You can say that they are ignorant, that they're, you know, reading the wrong things on the internet. And it just, I'm just done with them.
I just realized that me and Aaron Rodgers are the complete opposites in a lot of ways, but mainly the way he talks, he sounds really smart, but the things that he says, everyone's like, I don't think that guy's smart at all. Me, I have smart thoughts in here, but I don't know how to convey them. So everyone's like, man, that guy's an idiot, but I'm really not. I'm really super smart, like super, 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 super,
super smart.
I just can't speak good.
Why does Aaron Rodgers get any credit for intelligence? I don't understand it.
Because he says he reads things.
Oh,
and he wears like a nice beanie.
Okay.
Right.
All right. I'm tired of him. And by the way, the reason he wound up with the Jets isn't because he didn't want to win another Super Bowl. It's because the market for him was not that great. And he went to just about one of the few teams that was actually seriously interested in him for a one season fix, And now because he didn't play that season, he says he's going to play another season, which I still have my doubts about. I want to read a kind email we got at our Greg Cody Show website from a listener named Carl. I'm not going to use his last name.
Carl Scott? But,
no, it was not. No. I want to read this. Greg, I am writing your show to thank you for your suggestion and encouragement last year on one of the podcasts regarding starting a family fantasy football league and how it brings the family together. While usually I have other leagues that I am involved in, I decided to give it a go and start one for the family. I'm having trouble reading
this. This is some Chris quality reading right here.
Well, it's so small. Okay. I decided to start one for the family, and boy, was it a success. Our league had parents, grandparents, nieces, nephews, aunts, uncles, and children all living in different states within ages ranging from 10 to 72. There was constant banter and trash talk back and forth, and it was really a highlight of the fall with everyone actively involved. Trophies are being mailed out this week, and my 72-year-old father was the winner. Keep up the great work on the show and have a prosperous and wonderful 2024. Take care, Carl. Carl, thank you very much. I did extol the bonding quality, the family bonding quality of the fantasy league, and it's absolutely true. You know, we have three generations now in our PFPI league and two generations in our fantasy league, as well as close friends and such. And it's such a great experience. And I'm thrilled that at least one listener, Carl, took me literally and because of our suggestion started a league. I think that's just terrific. So thank you, Carl. That kind of thing.
I think we should take a break right now, but afterwards I want to play a clip from this little podcast Jason Kelsey and Travis Kelsey started. It's some people have heard of it.
I heard about that.
It's the most like our show, their show has ever been. Coming up next.
Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, folks. Please support the people that support our show. We love Sheets and Giggles. Go to sheetsgiggles.com/Greg. Promo code YETI. Through the 24th of January, the entire site is 24% off. Go there, get some sheets, get some pillows, get some comforters, get a gosh darn mattress. You can change your whole sleep world in a 20-minute span. A few buttons you got to click, spend a little quiche. It's the best quiche you'll ever spend. I'm telling you, my wife monthly is like, honey, we need more of this, more of that, because Sheets and Giggles is a game changer. Sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code YETI, YETI. Support YETI. The more times you write in that code, the more we like YETI. If you guys don't write that code in a lot, we hate YETI. So if you like YETI and you want it, we're going to fire YETI if a lot of people don't do this YETI code. I just decided. So
there might be more truth to that than we know.
If you like YETI and you want to protect YETI, sheetsgiggles.com/Greg, promo code YETI for 24% off until January 24th. Now, Dad, me and you have some tension on this podcast sometimes, no? And yep. I would call it honest family tension.
Fension.
Now, I want to play a clip here from the Travis Kelsey, Jason Kelsey podcast where little brother Travis gets under his brother's skin so much so that Jason just needs to like walk away. Now, I don't feel like I've done this to you. This is more of a brother dynamic. Like you'll just start yelling at me, whereas right. Jason kind of handles his anger a little differently here, but I want to play this clip for the people.
This clip is courtesy of the podcast New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelsey, as well as clips from the pod TikTok feed.
Been miscommunication at the line, but yeah, we do need to figure that out.
Choo-choo! You guys hear that? Is that the excuse train? Is that the excuse train coming in the Eagles locker room right now?
F***ing guy, man.
So moving on. Note first 10-point. Well, actually, a clock management on the final drive. Are you you guys thinking about that on the final drive or what?
No.
What? Where do we just go?
What is it? What just happened here?
I might need a little second.
This is great.
Stands up, walks away. Hold on.
Wow.
Cut to the next day.
All righty. Well, as you can see, I look a little bit different. Travis hit me in the feels a little bit, so we decided to postpone the show. We started recording that Monday night, and now we're back Tuesday to record the rest of it because I need to calm down. If there's anybody that knows how to get under my skin, it's Travis Kelsey.
Oh, I love that.
Travis is wearing the same clothes the next day?
Yeah, I mean, Travis was doing the bit of like, hey, I'll wear the same thing so it'll look like. And then Jason's just like, nope, different outfit. Travis pissed me off. But the best part, like, I know a lot of people couldn't see that. They only heard it. But the visual of him, the sip of the coffee, the deep breath, and the eating of a grape of just like, let me see if this grape makes me feel better. Nope, it doesn't. I need a minute. Could you relate to that? I don't know. I just felt like that was like a Greg Cody moment.
No, I can. It made me love Travis in a way that I didn't before.
You love the annoyee there.
Whoa. Yes, I love the annoyee. Oh,
you love the annoyer, right?
The annoyer was
Travis.
Was Travis.
You just said Travis.
I know. I mixed up my name. Jason, the guy with the big beard, is the guy who I grow to love because he was the one who was offended. Travis got a little carried away. You know, he should have come back with a bunch of Taylor Swift jokes or something.
Right.
Because, it's not like Travis Kelsey has had the best year of his career because of obvious distractions.
But after big game, like anytime they lose, Travis always is just like, Travis is like, whether it's genuine or not, Travis is like, we got to be better. I got to be better. Like Travis is a big, like after a loss, there's no excuses. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So, like, he's in that mindset of no matter if you lose, you just have to say these type of things. Whereas Jason was just kind of like, yeah, we got to get it figured out. Like, choo choo. Is that the excuse train?
I did enjoy that exchange, though. And I could relate to it because sometimes Christopher says things that get under my skin. I've never yet walked away, but you're right. The father son dynamic is different because my inclination is to start yelling at you,
right?
As if you were 12. Which sometimes you behave like 12 occasionally on this podcast.
So next time that I piss you off, don't yell at me. Just take your headsets off and then we'll just cut to the next day where you're wearing a different outfit.
That's funny. I want to say one thing in defense of the state of Florida because
Can I eat a bagel?
No, I'd rather you didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, let's wait till we're done. You can eat a Bialy, but not a bagel.
What?
I have grown to hate the state I live in a lot because I don't like the governor and because we are, passing laws against gay people and against women's rights, and we're burning books and banning books from schools. So there's a lot about the state of Florida that I don't like. But one thing that's in the state legislature right now that I absolutely love is that they are going to rename A1A, a major highway down here, as Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. How about that? They're trying to do that. And they're also going to be putting out Margaritaville license plates with profits to Jimmy Buffett's charity. So I think the state of Florida is actually doing something very nice because Jimmy Buffett was associated with Key West and with Florida. He used to go to Heat games all the time. He's a real Florida guy. And I'm sure it's still going to be A1A on maps, but there are going to be signs that say Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway, and I just think that's pretty sweet. I think
screw
that's
you, nice. Gay people. We're focused on Jimmy Buffett right now.
That's exactly right. That's right. Yeah, we're still terrible.
That should be the slogan for Florida.
That's a long slogan. What is the slogan exactly?
Screw you, gay people. We're worried about Jimmy Buffett right now.
Okay, that's a little bit wordy. That's a little bit wordy, but
doesn't chant well.
No,
but they'll try. They will try.
Screw you. Gay people, we're worried about. I keep screwing it up.
Yeah, no, that's not very good. I want to say something that annoyed me this past week. I'm in a post office because we're mailing late gifts. Okay, we do that. I'm sorry. I mailed two packages, one to Aunt Bonnie and the other to friends in Arizona. Late Christmas gifts, very late gifts, but that's beside the point. I'm in a post office and there's a long ass line. Okay, it's mid-afternoon on a weekday. I expected to waltz right up to the counter. Instead, I'm waiting in a line with a dozen people. Okay, people don't know how to stand in line properly. It drove me crazy. I came this close to yelling at a woman.
I need to interrupt you real quick. Yeah. Greg, please hold that thought. Chris, where did you just wipe that cream cheese that was on your face? It's still on your thumb? Where are you going to put it? Where are you going to? Oh, gosh, it's repulsive. Chris, no.
First of all, in a public setting, yes, at work, I shouldn't be licking my fingers and putting my, like, at home, eating a bagel, you're not licking a little cream cheese off your finger at home?
No, I used to, and then my wife shamed me for it, and I've stopped licking my fingers long, long, long ago.
Oh, I'm not, first of all, no contact with my tongue and my finger there. It's all on the cream cheese.
Honestly, I thought you wiped it on your shirt because I was like, if he had a paper towel, he would have wiped his face with a paper towel. And then I was like, so he doesn't have one. He just wiped that on his shirt, didn't he?
I need a paper towel.
I lick everything off my fingers.
Yeah, Dad.
Absolutely. I'm serious. Anything on my fingers, barbecue sauce, butter, whatever it is on my fingers, I lick.
Me and my dad had barbecue for lunch the other day, Yeti, and I just stand by my take.
Look, I love barbecue, but your take is correct.
I mean, it's just fine. Like, I was like, it's one of those things where I do occasionally, I really crave it. And it was my idea to go to this barbecue spot. I'm like, we haven't had it in a while. Let's go get some barbecue. I get this nice pulled pork sandwich on a nice garlic roll. And it's like, I take a bite and two bites in, I'm just like, all right, I'm kind of done with this.
Yeah, barbecue in general. It's just barbecue sauce. That's what it tastes like.
Everything tastes like barbecue sauce.
I will say there are a few places that I've had. They probably don't even exist anymore. But like when it's done right, when you get really good barbecue, and it depends what you're going for because there's such a variety. But like when you get it right, it does stand out, and you're like, okay, this is an experience. And I said, I don't remember where I was at, but I remember the meals I had. But as a whole, it's just fine. I enjoy it, but it's not like, man, I got to, but like, I don't crave it like I do fried chicken.
The way I told my dad, exactly. If there was like, just like, if I walk into this room and there's like 15 tables and on one table, Italian food, American food, Thai food, Japanese, Chinese, Cuban, barbecue. I'm just like,
I love how you listed off countries and then there's the barbecue country.
Yeah, I know. What is like, is barbecue American? Is that the great nation of barbecue?
We claim it. We'll take it.
Yeah, it's American. American cuisine,
whatever. But then there'll also be like a hot dog and burgers table. Like I'm going to that before I go to like brisket.
See, you guys are slaves to barbecue sauce. Okay, barbecue sauce and good barbecue do not necessarily go together. Like when I make a Boston butt for pulled pork on my Big Green Egg, I prefer it without any sauce at all.
Yeah, but the seasoning is so good.
No, the preparation, how it's prepared goes a long way into making it great. Like, it's good. I enjoy it, especially being from North Carolina. You know, give me my vinegar-based barbecue sandwich. I love it, but I don't sit there and crave it every day or all the time like I do, like I said, fried chicken or chocolate. Carry on, Greg. You were standing in line.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been great.
So mad at this.
It would have been great if you had just rage quit right there.
Are you upset right now because some lady just like didn't move up enough in line and there was like a gap? Like, what's wrong with like? I don't understand people's obsession. Like, there's still like, if there's three people left in this line, I'm three people away. I could be 50 feet back. Well, there can be 20 feet between each person. I don't give a shit because hey, there's still only three people ahead of you. Like, I don't understand the psychological torment you're putting yourself through.
Are you outside in the elements?
No, it's in.
Then it doesn't matter. Then it does matter,
and here's why: when you're in a line, whether it's a dozen people in a post office or 500 people at Disney World, what you want is the illusion of progress.
I get that.
The whole idea of constantly moving forward is so that the person at the back of the line is like, okay, we're moving. You know, we're moving. We're getting there. And then when the front of the line moves and the back of the line doesn't, because there's a woman on her cell phone who's oblivious and not moving an inch, and all of a sudden there's an 8-foot gap between her and the person in front of her, I was I was five seconds away from going, excuse me, lady, are you in line?
If the line, if there's no rope or like a thing that makes the line where someone could just come in and cut you, then I'm with you. But if it's like a clear roped, like, you know, S-shaped rope thing where nobody's cutting you, like, so what's wrong? Like, I don't understand the
struggle. Well,
I will say, to Greg's point, it does psychologically to a lot of people, this isn't just a Greg thing. It will create the feeling of stress, the feeling of the line not moving.
Thank you.
Which does, you know,
so raise you want tensions. Someone on your ass.
Same way in traffic.
You want to look back and you want someone up your ass. I agree in traffic, because if you leave that big gap, some asshole in another lane is going to come in and swoop in and like cut the line. That's why it's important in traffic. That's why if there's blockages, like, I'm good with it.
Yeah, I'm talking more of the illusion of progress that Greg went to when it comes to traffic. I would rather, I will take, let's say the interstate's backed up. You know, I'll take the interstate, but if it's backed up, and I find out that I've got a clear path, but it's going to take me an extra 20 minutes, but I get to keep moving. If I can see that path and know it's going to work for me, I'll take that. Even 20 minutes, as long as I'm able to keep moving. But if I'm stop and go on the interstate, I can't handle it. It's too much. I hate driving now.
Okay. Listen, I'm appointing myself the commissioner of lines.
I just love the idea of some lady up your ass in a line, and you wouldn't want that either. It's like you have to stand the exact perfect distance for Greg Cody.
The commissioner of lines has the podium. The commissioner of lines says there is an art to standing in line and moving in line, and that is you respect someone's personal space. You don't get on their ass, but you also respect the person behind you by moving up systematically. You don't not move, and all of a sudden, when the gap is 10, 12 feet, you all of a sudden decide you're going to move. That's so rude. It's so rude.
It does create more stress. It does. Even though it shouldn't matter. That's where, Chris, I'll agree with you. It shouldn't matter as much as long as you're not making people be outside.
Yeah. Like if the person who's like up, if like there's an open spot at the counter and the person who's next in line is on their phone, not paying attention, then I'm with you. Give the old fashioned fake cough. But it's just, if you're fifth in line, if I'm fifth in line, I don't care how big the gap is in this line. Like
I do. I care enough for both of us.
You're still fifth.
Like, well, you move, go, lady, go. You know, I can't tell you how close I was to blowing up in public because I just get so annoyed. I probably need to take a chill pill. I realize that, but there's so many little things that annoy me. And this is one.
I do like one of my stressful moments in these settings is not the line. It's when I'm next in line and let's say a bank teller, like the spot opens. So I'm next. That moment where it's like, they're looking at their computer and they haven't called the next person yet. I'm a big, if that spot opens, I'm just going to go walk there. Whereas sometimes you get hit with, oh, I'm not ready, sir. One second. And then I have to then retreat back and like move the line back. Like, hey, sorry, I left to go over here, but
that's
they're
the walk of shame. Yeah.
Like, so I'm always get stressed out in that like 10 second period where the employee, it's usually at like a hotel. This happens, a bank. Like anywhere where there's like a everyone's lined up, but there's different options for counters. Like I always get stressed out waiting for that employee to raise their hand. That's why you love a Home Goods. I love the automated line 7, please. 7.
Yeah. Like, the only problem with Home Goods is that the line is always 500 people long.
Right. But it's organized. It's organized. You hear a little ding and it's like, register 9, please. And it's like, I know exactly
where. You still have to wait in line 20 minutes to buy a $12 shirt.
Yeah. But it's a great line. You're getting some knickknacks for the house. You're like, you get a coffee mug that you don't need.
Knickknack paddywhack.
I love the, you know, you get a good neck pillow for a plane. What are the things you
don't need?
What are the things you find in the checkout line at Home Goods?
I've never been.
So many good things my wife just said.
It tends to be seasonal. Like during Christmas season, there's just all kind of crap that, you know, stocking stuffers and stuff like that. The neck pillow.
You can get like a airplane stack of neck. Yeah, go ahead.
The airplane neck pillow. You couldn't pay me to wear.
No, don't sleep on the neck pillow. Well, no, you should sleep on the neck pillow. But I'm telling you, the neck pillow is, I was always anti-neck pillow, but it does help. True. Christy's getting involved with this.
Once we're talking, can we get a neck pillow, please?
She's
a
big into Home Goods.
Neck pillow.
All right, I'm anti neck pillow.
Yeah. She made me take a neck pillow to Germany, and it was a beneficial thing. Like if you have a long flight that you're really trying to sleep on, like that thing, you can find a good use for it.
Yeah, but what? Like
I did not use it in the traditional way. I was on a window seat, so I like used it like to like lean up against the wall. Like I'm telling you, you can put it to good use. Like
okay,
I'm with you. That
you can
the
get
most
a pillow on a plane though.
Yeah, but those pillows suck. Those like little like pillows that you could like squish and just like I could have all of it in my hand right here.
Right.
Sheets and giggles. Can we get some airplane pillows? Can you make pillows for the airlines, please?
Mm-hmm. That's not a bad idea.
Give them better pillows.
That's not a bad idea. I want to talk Belichick and Saban at some point, but we don't have to do it by right now. We can do it when we talk about the Dolphins playoff game against the Chiefs.
I mean, why? What? I mean, Saban and Belichick, we could talk now.
Okay. The legacy of these two guys, one of them has a mixed legacy and the other doesn't.
I don't think there's a mixed legacy of those two. I don't know what you're talking about.
You need I tell you, Bill Belichick, okay? Let me say two things about Bill Belichick. Number one, the Patriots under his watch were in trouble with the NFL for Spygate for, you know, more than once. There's been controversy involving Belichick teams. Number two, it is absolutely fair to say that he did all his winning with Tom Brady, and once Tom Brady left, he was treading water for 4 years. His magic left when Tom Brady did. Now, is that too harsh? I'm still going to say he's the all-time winningest Super Bowl coach.
I mean, those are two different things you just said.
You could make an argument that he's the greatest coach ever. I would not argue that, but you could certainly make that argument. You know, and he's going to coach again, and there's going to be a lot of teams that want to hire him, but he does have taint in his background.
Hell yeah.
And he didn't win without Brady. That's
fair. Don't we all have a taint in our background? But Dad, what I would say is I just like, yeah, whatever. Like I like the Brady thing.
Yeah.
The Brady thing, fine. Like, fine. Yes, he was shitty after Brady left. But,
okay.
Like, why do you, you're becoming the guy. You did it with Michigan.
Right.
Where it's like, you just want to be the guy to remind people about stuff. Oh, like, so we couldn't just enjoy the Michigan thing. It's like, this should have an asterisk.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, can we just, God, just, it's just, that's the lane you want to take of just, oh, may I remind you that they are deflated balls and nothing, blah, blah, blah. It's just like, God, can't we just not enjoy Belichick? Like,
okay,
really, is this necessary right now to be like, well, actually, he did something that was blah, blah, blah.
I didn't realize I was saying it in quite that tone of voice.
Simpson character.
Blyden. Okay, then.
What I'm saying is, I'm thinking like a journalist here. If you're writing the career obituary, and he's going to coach again, so it's not a career obituary. But if you're writing the story of Bill Belichick parting ways with New England,
Deflategate is such a blip. It's like a comma in like a 4-page.
Allow me to finish. Okay. If you're writing the story of Belichick leaving New England, you start with all the success. You start with the Super Bowls, more Super Bowls than anybody else. You start with that. Unmistakably, you start with that. But you include in the story the controversies.
You didn't start with that. You started with the negative, and then you were like, he's also...
You include in the story the fact that he did not win without Tom Brady.
You just did the opposite of what you said. You put that second. You put his scandal first, him not winning without Brady, and then you said, I still think he's the greatest coach of all time.
No, I didn't say that.
You did the exact opposite of what you just said you should do.
First of all, I did not say I think he's the greatest coach of all time. I said you could argue that.
But my point is, you just, we originally had this conversation and you started with like the Deflategate stuff, controversy, and then you went to sucks without Brady, and then you said the good positive things. And then you said, if you're writing this story, you have to lead with how great he was. No, you just didn't do that.
Okay, here's Christopher Bulletin. I'm not writing a story right now. I'm talking on a podcast.
You are writing a story.
Podcast, and I can say whatever I want to say. And it's obvious for the purpose of what I'm saying right now, it's obvious that he's won the most Super Bowls I'm telling you the other side of the story, which is the controversies, which is he couldn't win without Brady. And this, his parting is not particularly the way he intended it to be. Okay, the Dolphins found a way to get rid of Don Shula without firing him. Don Shula was very upset by the way he left the Miami Dolphins. Bill Belichick is not leaving New England on his own terms. Robert Kraft is slapping him with a velvet glove. He can say all the nice things he wants, but the point is he didn't want Bill Belichick back next season. And that's why Belichick's gone. All of these things factor into the whole story of his career. That's all I'm saying.
I don't want to know where Robert Kraft's velvet glove has been. Greg, if you had just stopped after yelling at Chris for after your first few phrases, you could have then just said, "This is the Greg Cody Show. We'll be right back."
That's true.
And that could have been our real beef intro.
That would have been Stephen A. Smith-esque.
But you were so filled with indignant rage at what Chris said.
I mean, he literally said you can't write the story without starting with this. And like a minute before, he led his podcast soliloquy with like the opposite of what he said he would lead the column with.
Okay, I'm not writing a story here.
That this is the same thing. This is your column.
No, it isn't.
What you're saying about Belichick here is essentially a brief column. That's what this podcast is. It's a bunch of small columns about shit you think about.
100% in a news story. Okay, listen to me. Because I've done both.
But Yeti, my dad is like, he's backpedaling here. Like I
am not backpedaling. What I'm saying is this. If I'm writing a news story, which I have done professionally for a lot of years, you have to lead with the Super Bowls, with the all-time winningest coach, whatever.
But on a podcast, you don't give him that respect. On a podcast, you lead with the shame.
No, on a podcast, I can lead with whatever I want. You don't understand journalism.
Whatever you like, Dad, whatever you lead with when you're talking about something is your first paragraph. Like you decided, all right, it's time to talk about Brady, Belichick and Saban. First Belichick scandal. And that's just like you said that. Like that is what you led with on this podcast. The first thing people heard you talking about Belichick retiring was Deflategate. Like that's what you led with.
Okay, as soon as you shut the fuck up, I will say something. Okay? What I'm doing right now is not anything close to writing a news story. What I'm doing right now is very close to writing a column. If I write a column in the Miami Herald tomorrow about Bill Belichick's career, I am perfectly entitled to lead with the fact that it ain't all good.
That's
okay. He couldn't win without Brady. He has controversies in his past. He didn't go out on his terms. That's fair comment. And I can say it because the Super Bowls, all he won, goes without saying, but some of the other stuff does not go without saying.
This would be like Lebatard describing the Greg Cody experience. Like, all right, guys, let's talk about Greg Cody on the Lebatard show. He showed up hammered once to a watch party.
Yeah, he has said that many times on the air, as a matter of fact.
But that would be like when describing you and all your contributions to the show, if he just in the first paragraph brought up such a small one night thing that you did that was negative on the Lebatard show. And for some reason, Lebatard decided to put that in the first paragraph. But also, he's also one of our all-time great guests.
He can say whatever he wants.
I'm just saying, like, that's what you just did to Bill Belichick.
Right.
Like, and it's just so, like, yeah, like, it's just so salacious of, like, what's, like, the negative thing? Like, everyone's praising him here. What is, like, oh, remember Deflategate 7 years ago when they deflated a ball by, like, 0.001? Let's bring that up. It's just...
Yeah, Spygate as well. Yeah. And not winning without Brady and leaving not on his terms. Yeah, all those things factor in. They don't equal the six Super Bowls, but they do factor
into
the
whole. That's paragraph six, the Super Bowls.
Okay, whatever. Now, I think we can all agree more on Nick Saban, the greatest of all time in college football. There is an argument about Belichick, and most people would say Belichick is the greatest of all time. But in college football, I don't think there's any argument. Everybody used to say Bear Bryant. He literally replaced Bear Bryant and won more championships. So Saban, to me, is the greatest. I just think, and you could make an argument that college football is more difficult to coach than pro football because it involves a draft, and now it involves NIL and all this other transfer portals It's a very difficult sport to coach, more so than pro football, I think. And Nick Saban was just a master.
I think the first paragraph with Saban, we lead with him being disrespectful to Maria Taylor on the sideline. I think we really should let the people know in the first paragraph something bad he did.
Yeah,
that was that most people don't remember.
Right.
But we really want we want to be balanced here.
Yeah. Okay. So thank you for that absolutely ridiculous analogy. I don't even know the Maria Taylor incident you're talking about.
It was like she was like asking and he's like, I'm not answering. So stop asking.
Okay.
And he like stormed. It was like a halftime interview where like she was like, what's wrong with your running game so far? He's like, I'm not going to talk about it. So stop asking.
What's wrong with your running game, lady?
That was actually not a terrible Saban by me right there. So stop asking. But and then he like came out the next day and was like, I want to apologize to Maria. I was upset. And like, it was just a little tiny controversy for like a week. That was just like people were like, oh, can you believe Saban was a little disrespectful? And he apologized. No big deal. But I think that's paragraph one.
Well, I don't. And neither do you.
Not on your column on the news story. What was it? When do you start with the bad stuff?
The column writing.
The column. Yeah. No. When you're writing a column with your words on your podcast, then you can start with it.
Okay. When I'm writing a column about Nick Saban, I don't even mention what you just mentioned because it's absolutely inconsequential. Every coach gets upset.
He failed with the Dolphins.
Yep. Oh, that's it. That would be first paragraph. Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's another thing.
He weaseled his way out of Miami.
He did not fail with the Dolphins. He didn't give himself enough time.
Wow, that's a hot take.
He did not. He only coached here two seasons. He did not fail with the Dolphins. He just didn't give himself enough time. If he had stayed here, he would have won in the NFL just like he won at Alabama. Not to that degree, because it's harder in the NFL.
There's just no way for you to know that.
No, but I believe it. I believe it. And I've talked to Dolphin people who say that he would have won here. He could have done very well here had he not left for Alabama. And I believe that to be true.
All right, let's talk some football. Spoiler alert, I'm not in Kansas City.
Thank God.
Ah, Dad, as things change, they stay the same. The Dolphins disappoint once again.
Yes.
I don't want to do the whole like injuries to a, like, let's just look at it as a whole. The Dolphins disappoint once again.
Yeah, it wasn't just losing in frigid Arctic weather in Kansas City. It was the Buffalo game before that. It was getting blown out in Baltimore before that. Let's be honest. This is a team that had the whole season in its hands. They had their fans thinking Super Bowl, and that team finished 0-3 and losing four of its last six games. You can't do that. They failed. This team failed. Look, if I'm going straight to the bottom line, I cannot call this a successful season. This is a team that had everyone's hopes and expectations up high and let everybody down. And you can blame injuries. You can blame whatever you want. But there's work to do for this team because they could not beat good teams with the exception of a 2-point home win against Dallas. They couldn't beat good teams, and that really kicked them in the ass and kicked them out of the playoffs long before it should have.
Andy Reid looked ridiculous with his frozen mustache.
Yeah, icicles coming from his mustache.
I couldn't have been more happy to not be in Kansas City.
Yours?
After I almost went.
Yes, me too.
Man, just think, like right now we're recording this recap on Sunday. Right now I would just be like at like probably like O'Hare Airport right now and catching some connection flight that's canceled because of snow. Like I saw Jordan McPherson, your boy from the Herald,
right,
is like stuck in O'Hare right now trying to get back from that game last night.
Yeah, poor Jordan.
Did he go because you didn't?
Yes. Daniel, who covers the Dolphins full time for us, was obviously going to go, and I had second dibs because I'm the columnist, and I just didn't want to go to literally sub freezing climbs.
We should call Jordan McPherson right now and be like, "How do you feel about Greg Cody? Since he's the reason you had to go." That would actually be hilarious. Are you close enough with him that you could call him on speaker right now?
I could, but I don't want to continue his torture. I really don't. No.
Man,
I just don't want to go there.
I'll send him. All right, you talk about the Dolphins for a couple more minutes. I'm going to send him a text and see if we can get a response before the end of this.
Okay. Well, listen, I don't want to overdramatize this because I know whenever the Dolphins lose, let alone lose to end the season, all of the haters come out. You have to look at the bottom line. They did finish with 11 wins and 7 losses. a disappointment, but let's not retrofit it and call it a terrible season. It wasn't a terrible season, but it should have been better than it was. Keep in mind all of the good in this season, and that tells you how high the expectations were. Tua led the NFL in passing yardage. Tyreek Hill flirts with an historic 2,000-yard season. Raheem Mostert sets an all-time club record for most touchdowns scored. There was a lot good going on here. And before some key injuries like Jalen Phillips and Bradley Chubb, there was a lot good beginning to go on with defense as well. So let's not start a dumpster fire and say everybody should be fired and they need to start over and McDaniel's not the guy and Tua's trash. Let's not go there. This was a good season. It was not a great season.
It was a shit season.
No, I mean, it was not.
I mean, yes, you're right. The first 8 weeks of the season were fun. But look at it as a whole, though. We peaked way too early. We peaked against the Broncos. Like, yes, it was fun because Dolphin fans are so not used to having that feeling. So, yes, those 5 to 8 weeks where we were like feeling ourselves, feeling like we have like one of the best offenses ever. Like, what happened to that offense? That offense was not that offense against good teams.
I agree with you. And that's a problem to solve. Believe me, it is. And I'm not saying there aren't problems to solve. I'm saying don't be one of those people who is now saying, blow everything up. What a lousy season.
You got to win a playoff game.
Shit. Tua is a piece of shit. Listen, I know that.
You got to win a playoff game. I'm not asking. I was saying, hey, you don't need to win a Super Bowl for this to be a good year, but we got to win a playoff game.
Okay. I'm going to say on my podcast what I wrote in my column because I like to be consistent. I am not calling this a successful season. It was not. It was a failed season at the end, and the end is what counts. But I'm also not going to jump overboard with all these lunatics and say it was a shit season. It wasn't. It was short of what it should have been. But it was not a terrible season. It was a season that was very, very good and then came off the rails toward the end. And that colors my entire feeling about the season. No, not a successful season. But I'm just not ready to overreact and say fire everybody and start over.
McDaniel is a great offensive mind. Vic Fangio's defense was battered with injuries, you know, and still played well for most of the season. Even like that late, like even the game against the Bills that lost them division, they gave up 2 touchdowns that game to the Bills. Right. Like the defense has been fine through all the injuries. So I think he comes back too. Like you definitely run it back. Like the biggest questions here are Tua. Like, I don't want to do, like, we're not going into that any deeper than that. But, like, if you said to me, like, what's the difference between this team and, like, the really good teams, it's a mobile, dominating quarterback.
Like, okay, the funny thing about mobility is that
I have a solution, by the way, if you want it now. Okay. Like, we can do another.
Let me just say Tua was more mobile last night than he's been all season. They actually
That was terrifying. Running. Those runs are terrifying. Like,
you're right.
It's not fun to watch Tua run. It's stressful. It's like I'm watching my younger brother running with the football. I'm like, God.
It's because you know he has the concussion history. But what were you going to say?
He just doesn't look athletic. My solution is they trade for Justin Fields. That's the solution.
Okay. Yeah. I saw that among some of the lunatics. I mean, I didn't mean lunatic. I mean, some of the fans online last night.
You say that. You say they're lunatics are saying that. But that would be an upgrade.
No.
I mean, maybe Tua is a little bit probably more accurate, but I'll take a little bit less accuracy with the upside of being a playmaker. You have to be a playmaker at that position nowadays. Like, look at all the other good teams.
You do realize that half of Chicago Bears fans want to trade Justin Fields because they don't think he's any good. You realize that, right?
We'll take him.
Okay. You change people's minds.
No, Dad. First of all, people want to trade Justin Fields because they think Caleb Williams is going to be that guy. So it's like, let's maximize, let's get a lot for Fields. And then we get this young core. Like nobody is saying he's just crap. Everyone agrees Justin Fields is like at the least competent starting quarterback. Like,
okay, this is whether or not the Dolphins should trade Tua or give him a big contract is a show in and of itself. So let's not dive deep into that. I wrote that they should extend him. I think he's a really good quarterback.
On the cold, he had a really good season. He looked like crap last night in the cold.
Okay, he did. He did. And I agree with that.
You're going to have to play in the cold. Like, it's football.
he had one of his worst games of the season last night. He was not particularly accurate, but then again, the wind chill factor was minus 30 and the balls were floating.
And Patrick Mahomes was boom, boom, boom.
He missed some balls too. No,
but he also, there were times throughout that game where I'm like, is it cold for him? Because he, like, his receivers were dropping some passes, but he was putting them right there. Like,
okay.
And obviously that's the best quarterback. That's the standard. But like, I just think that's, if you ask me where this team is, like, I don't know.
Okay. Maybe. I think two is good enough. I think he's really good. I think they should give him a big contract. But again, that's not the conversation for this night. Let's put to bed this Dolphin season, which we both agree was disappointing. We both agree you can't call it a successful season when you end with a three-game losing streak that costs you everything, including a home playoff game. So maybe they'll be better next year. But to your point, the way you started this was perfect. It's just another season where the Dolphins build you up and then they let you down. And that's the way it was this season. They took a shit toward the end of the season when they needed to be at their best. Period, paragraph, over and out.
Jordan McPherson says, I hate him.
He does not. You liar. I love you, Jordan. Sorry I did that to you. Podcast family, thank you for joining us today. It was a crazy, wild episode. I'm glad I don't have frostbite right now as I'm talking to you. I'm in my cozy, warm office, soon to be home studio. And thank you all for joining us, as always. And we got a big show coming next week. I have no idea what it'll be, but it'll be a big show, and you know it. See you next week.